in the last 2 weeks?
Well, what I did here is, like you, I read the lawsuit, and it does reference questioning the state's own ability to collect a marine passenger fee. Now, having said that, well, I didn't do a word-by-word comparison. Somebody who did said it's very similar to the suit the industry had filed against the state, I think, in 2009, and then they reached a sort of a settlement, but more of a political settlement, and they got a credit instead of $50 plus the Juno and Ketchikan head taxes. They got the $50 went to 34 or something. I think you were involved with that, actually.
No, yeah, it went to 34.5.
Right,
I think.
Right. So since then, not only did I read it, but I believe John Binkley was then subsequently quoted in the Ketchikan Daily News as saying, yes, it sort of could affect Ketchikan as well. And if that's the case, number one, the industry needs to be upfront about it. And number two, were I still involved in local government, I would ask the city council to be defensive in this, in the sense of passing an ordinance that says the local head tax will increase by X amount if the industry's lawsuit is successful and the city no longer gets the state head tax.
Well, yeah, they can figure it out. But
otherwise, there's a bond for the berths, and if the industry doesn't pay for it as they agreed to when I was mayor of the city, somebody's going to foot the bill.
Right. Well, yeah, we are, and that's why they are exempted in Juneau off of that for that bond, because we had bond and Juneau had a bond in place, so we protected those. This is the thing that gets me with these guys, and that really ticks me off, because when the story first launched, you got to realize these are multinational corporations, very sophisticated companies and marketing companies, and the first splash across Alaska was them attacking Juneau over a whale statue. So when you talk about the issue, people go, oh, yeah, well, they built that stupid whale in Juneau.
And then it turns out Juneau's not using any head tax money for
it. And it turns out that's the case. And it turns out that, oh, actually, it does affect every single port in Alaska. So it's very disingenuous of the industry to do that. And we've had a history. We have a really good relationship with the industry. But you remember back, and I think you were either mayor or on the council, when, what was it? It was a cruise ship. I think it was a berth vote to fund one of the berths. And at the last minute, the cruise company put a bunch of money into the campaign. It was a local campaign. And they had these huge full-page ads in the Daily News, professionally done, of the cruise ships. And it was obviously done by, you know, some big firm down south. And it just turned a bad taste. I remember it so clearly. And it's those kind of things, you know. And right now I think they're just overstepping their bounds. They're just getting a little bit too snappy, a little bit too cocky, and it's really too bad, because this problem could have been solved. But it is on both agendas for the city and the borough to discuss it and to direct their attorneys. I think we might have a caller. To direct their attorneys to investigate it and find out, you know, what's going on.
Well, so I think the question is, should they join the lawsuit or not?
Well, they have to understand it first.
My perspective is they certainly need to monitor it. But if, in fact, as the industry's representative has now admitted, this could be mean an end, at least temporarily, of the state's head tax for Ketchikan. Ketchikan needs to protect itself financially and not be at the mercy of these multinational cruise companies.
Well, they'll defend themselves. Yeah, they should.
And yes, we do have a caller. Larry is on the line, and he had a comment on this exact topic. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just checked here on a report that Carnival Cruise profits in the third quarter, I believe, of 2015 were $1.2 billion with a B. So the idea that this is harming the industry is ridiculous, you know, these head taxes. And there's growth in the state as well. And one way to tackle this may be to take our permanent fund investment and buy huge stake in Carnival Corp and get somebody on their board, because they own most of the cruise lines that come in here. So I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
Well, thank you. And one of the points I should make is the head tax doesn't come out of their profits, not one cent of it. It's added to the cruise passengers' bills, every dime of it. And it's not just an Alaska phenomenon. In most of the ports, they go to the Caribbean and Europe and, you know, virtually every port that I'm aware of, they pay a substantial head tax, in many cases much larger than the one that their passengers are paying for cruises in Alaska. So it doesn't affect their bottom line, and I think it helps their bottom line because it helps communities like Ketchikan provide some port facilities and maintain them and improve them. And in theory, it provides a better experience for their passengers and a safer way to dock and walk on crowded streets and sidewalks in the communities they visit.
Yeah, I mean, you got to realize, you know, I agree, Larry, I agree with what you're saying. That there's enough money there, but you know, you can't fault the shark for feeding. I mean, that's what the corporation does. I mean, they've got people that's their job is to try and find the best deal everywhere. So yeah, it's just a part of the job. We just have to continue to fight. Because, you know, they will not stop. I mean, it's the same thing with the oil companies. You know, people in Alaska think that, oh my God, you know, Alaska has some effect on the economy of world oil. No. I mean, the oil companies make us think like we're important. We have no bearing whatsoever.
Well, Carnival just got
But you can't blame them for doing that. I mean, and they're publicly traded companies. So, you know, buy some Carnival stock.
Right. Carnival just got apparently preliminary authorization to go into Cuba. Cuba's probably going to have a head tax. I don't know what Ted Cruz or Marco Rubio thinks about an American company taking Americans into Cuba, but I bet it'll be a popular cruise and competitive.
Well, sure it will be.
In addition. So
I just don't like I don't mind that they don't like to pay the tax. I don't mind that they're fighting it. They have every right to do that. What I mind is them going, oh, look at, you know, they're building a whale, and then just telling this story across the state about how we're screwing things up down here, and it's disingenuous. And so let's bring the real fight and talk about the issue, and then we'll beat you on it, and then you're going to pay it. And then we'll all get along.
Well,
don't be disingenuous.
And as we talked about, and I haven't read it, there was just a legislative audit of how the different communities are spending their head tax. Said the city of Ketchikan's doing fine. There may be some issues or suggestions for the borough improving it. But according to the Juneau newspaper, the legislative audit said they're spending their head tax money appropriately. So I'm sure that will be entered into evidence in the lawsuit. You know, the industry should just make sure that the money's being spent in accordance with federal requirements for a marine passenger fee.
Right.
And that's the only thing that they should be concerned about, really.
Well, and that's what we talked about last time, is defining that language is really going to change the landscape. Because, again, if Fairbanks can prove that they have impacts because of cruise passengers, which they probably can, they're going to be eligible for that money. Right. Because it's finally going to define that. And that means less money for us.
Right.
But, you know.
So anyway, before we get into our next political...
Hold on just a second. Let me see if Larry has anything more. He's still on there. Larry,
okay.
did you have any more comments, or did that pretty much cover it?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks, Larry. Before we get into the next political discussion, I have a text from one of our listeners who specifically wanted Kyle Johansson to comment on the sale of the Seattle Mariners, which apparently happened today.
Yes.
Is that the football team or the baseball team? What? No. Go ahead.
Goodness.
That was from my listening friend out
right
there.
Nobody is shocked that you would think the Mariners was the soccer team in Seattle, Bob. Actually, you know, I'm kind of torn on this one because Nintendo Corporation is the entity that is selling 90% of its holdings. They're the majority owner of the Mariners. So, and I'm a big Nintendo fan. That's my game system.
Is Nintendo still around? I thought it went out with Commodore.
I'm a fanboy for the Nintendo. No, Nintendo is running strong with the U. They just announced their new system coming out here in a couple of years. They have not been pummeled into the earth by the Xbox machine. like Sony. But anyway, so it's kind of a give and take. But I think it's good because it's being sold to the other investors. I think a lot of them, most of them are local Seattle folks. So I think it's good for Seattle to get the ownership right back. But Nintendo is going to retain 10% stake, and that's good. Mariners are playing good this year. They're doing pretty good.
They had a good game last night.
Name one Mariner, Bob.
What's that?
Name one Seattle Mariner.
I'm not...
How about the price of a loaf of bread?
I can name a former one, Ichiro.
How about the price of a loaf of bread?
I know the Mariners won against Houston last night. I watched the game with a certain guy who's well known for his photography in this community.
Yeah, do you realize right now how disappointed he is right now that you can't name one Mariner? You're going to hear about this. You can thank me.
Thank you. Thank you for embarrassing me. I can tell you about the Yankees roster in the late 50s and early 60s with Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris and Whitey Ford. Those are the games I went to. What can I say? And then one last thing. We had another text from one of our listeners, actually in another state, who is concerned that this head tax lawsuit may be an effort to bring the horses back on the streets of Ketchikan. And I am sure that that won't happen. I'm sure that's not the case.
Sounds like a former city council member. So let's talk about another local issue because we've got like 15 minutes left. But what I want to talk about is Shelter Cove. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. Shelter Cove Road, which basically goes from Harriet Hunt all the way across the island out to Shelter Cove, which is up on the other side on the south end of the road system. So that contract. This is a long process going back to when Bill Williams was in office. I mean, the very seed money for that goes all the way back to the 90s. And finally, after many years, that contract was let out to bid for contractors to bid on it, and immediately it was litigated by five environmental groups here in Southeast Alaska. Yeah.
Well, number one, it's not
stalwarts of the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but. I mean, I don't know if anybody's surprised about a road being built and being litigated. I imagine in part it goes through some of the Tongass. Does it go through some national forest?
They're suing on an easement, I think. You wrote a story about it, right? Is that correct?
They're suing the federal government over its granting the easement to the state to build the road, and they're also suing the Army Corps of Engineers for the wetlands fill permit for the entire length of the road.
Right.
It's a two-prong. Obviously went through a process, and they could have participated in that. I mean, I'm not aware of, I don't know the exact route of the road. I've seen maps, but like the Mariners, I just don't keep the specifics in my head.
So disappointed.
But,
that was really disappointing, although probably expected, but still very disappointed, again, in that. So... I mean, that's kind of one thing that went on.
Well, and it may, stop the road from being built, at least temporarily. But, yeah, it's interesting. I could understand if there was some unique old-growth timber that the road was going through, and they were going to mow down 40 miles of old-growth. But I don't think that's what is happening with that road. Why don't we talk about the state? We haven't really talked about the state other than the cruise industry's lawsuit that affects potentially state head tax receipts. So legislature's gone past the 90-day voter-approved session limit. There's the constitutional 120, and that's what they use. They're still in Juneau. Not making lots of progress on a budget that can get the necessary votes. In fact, apparently a contingent flew to Anchorage. The governor has said that he would veto a purchase of the palace that they built and leased to one of their major political donors. in Anchorage. So now they're looking at the former Wells Fargo building, even though there's apparently adequate space in the state-owned Atwood building, where I think the governor's office is.
That's correct.
You know those people more than me. Why do they need to spend a bunch of money on a building just for themselves when there's space in a building that they own already?
I really don't know. Back when I was a staffer, when the Atwood building was purchased, the idea was to house a state, as many state offices as possible under one roof. That was the testimony, that was the concept, that was the idea. And then when the theory went into practice, it all turned into market forces. They could make more money renting to other people. And they could get cheaper rent by putting their offices out in the outskirts of town. So you'd have all of these little leases and all of these little offices around town. And it was economic development. People would get their building leased, and people would come there, and then a little store would open next to it. That was the deal. So it totally bastardized the original idea. And slowly governors have tried to bring those satellite offices back into the Atwood building. But then you're under the constriction of leases. You have 18 different leases. They all end at a different time, so you can't do it all at once. But there has been an effort to pull those stuff back into the Atwood building.
And you think there'd be a greater effort now instead of spending more money?
Well, there might be a greater effort, but the legislature is a different creature, and they don't have to do what the governor says.
Oh, I understand that.
So that's the deal. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I could care less where it is. It should be somewhere that makes sense economically. Right. But, yeah, it's a disaster with the building up there.
Right. So are you concerned that there's no, at least publicly known, progress on a budget? I mean, that's what...
No, actually, there was progress. There was a bill released, and it's not... There's no discussion about the budget going on. The only discussion is about the level of tax credits. That's the only thing going on. That's the only issue that they're arguing over. And there was a bill released today, which... Okay, so to put it in a nutshell, the governor basically put... said no to 700 million or so credits. The first bill that the legislature came out with in the House, I think it was about, they lowered it down to the 70s. I think it was 70 or 71. The latest bill, it's up around 250 or 270. So you can see that it's a negotiation, 700 to 70. Now the legislature says 270. The governor's probably saying, I won't go any lower than 550 this year, 450 next year. I mean, that's how it works. It's just like you're buying a car. It's no different. So they're going to go back and forth. They're going to settle somewhere in the middle. Most likely they'll knock half of it off this year. They'll want to give the industry a couple of years to ease out of it, I would imagine. So I would think they're going to come in, find some middle ground somewhere before the constitutional limit. They don't want to go to a special session over this. You heard it here first. That's my prediction.
Yep. So, okay, so... They're still in Juneau, no budget.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's disappointing to me is in times like this, there's only probably 10 or 12 legislators actually working on this. You probably got the leadership, which is the House and the Senate Finance, majority leaders, the rules, and the President and the Senate. The vast majority of the other legislators, and I've been there, I know exactly what's going on, they're sitting around going, I wonder what the Finance Committee is going to do today. Reading the paper, you know, doing constituent stuff. And it's not like they're not working. They're just low-key working. I'm always the advocate of, hey, everybody's there already. Have some more committee meetings. Why isn't the State Affairs Committee meeting on issues? Why aren't these committees meeting on issues?
Yep.
And I don't understand that. And I don't understand. But who knows? Maybe Dan Ortiz can tell us about it next time he calls in. Right?
Yeah, that'd be good. So anyway, just to go back to that last subject, you know, we talk about the Mariners. I do know a few players. I watched Cano.
He's been on the iPad for 5 minutes.
I watched him hit a grand slam last night.
You did not.
And, of course, I know Felix Hernandez is a pitcher, and there's a guy, Nelson Cruz. But anyway, other than that, I can't name the whole team like I could the Yankees. I'll admit
you
that.
Internet being saved by your good friends over there.
But I did. I could name the one. I saw him hit a grand slam last night.
Right. So, what do you think is going to happen?
With?
Anything.
Well, I think eventually there'll be a budget deal in Juneau, and who knows what it's going to be. But as you know, we're in the same situation we were in last year, where you have a minority group who will hold out for certain things, and maybe they should have been brought into the process by the majority a long time ago, not on the 95th day.
Well, it's
of
not
the session.
I mean, it's not up to the speaker to bring them into it. I mean, come on. I mean, everybody knows they've got the 3 votes that the speaker needs to pass a budget. So everybody knows what's going on. I mean, Tuck, the minority leader, is just sitting up there in the catbird seat. And, you know, we'll see how tough he is. But it will be interesting because, again, this is the group of 12, 14 people, where 13 folks, where 3 of them are from Southeast and 10 of them are hardcore party Democrats from downtown Anchorage. Yep. And it's disappointing. Again, I think people ought to look at this and ask your Southeast legislator, you know, are you gonna be in that caucus and be on board to support what's important to those core downtown Anchorage Democrats, or are you going to step up for Southeast Alaska? There's 3 of them in there.
Well,
they're 25% of the caucus. They've got some juice. What's going on?
Well, I don't know.
This is your party. I want to know.
No,
what do
I'll
you guys
you what,
talk about in the meetings?
Well, no, I'll tell you what's
do
going on.
Do you tell
on.
Them that
I'll,
they should do
no,
that?
No, what's going on is the legislature is going to cut everybody but themselves. The university is going to lose 300 jobs based on the last proposed budget cut for them. I bet you there's not a legislative member who will lose that proportion of staffers. They're not going to give up the thousands that they give themselves in federal per diem payments and excess of lodging. You know, they get thousands, and they'll keep that and all their perks. That's what I predict will happen. The legislative branch will come out in very good shape, and the executive and judicial branches will take it on the shorts. And until the system changes, until the voters wake up and say, we're not accepting that anymore. If you do this, we're voting you out of office, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat.
It doesn't have to happen.
Oh, it will. I mean, you said it earlier. The incumbents
The minority doesn't have to give up their 3 votes, and the 3 Democrats in the majority could just peel off too. And then where would you go? So it's all in the hands of the Democrat Party, but they won't do anything.
Well, I don't think so.
They won't play. They won't.
I'm saying
because you need those Democrats.
The majority is not
going to
cut the legislature itself. That's
because it's full of.
But they'll cut the university and schools and other things.
You got to get your Democrats in line. They hold the keys to the universe.
Kyle, in 2 weeks.
I'm cutting you boys off. That is the end of this week's Politics Now. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to our 2 callers, Rob and Larry, and we're gonna hand things over now to Wednesday Rock and Blues.
Thank
with
you.
Joko.
Great. Thank you, Layla and Kyle and listeners.
Absolutely.